So good to see you this morning. I trust you've had a good Christmas season already and will continue to have a good one throughout the next few days. If you don't have plans Tuesday night, we would love to welcome you here on our Christmas Eve service. We'll sing together and there'll be other people that sing for us, and it'll just be a good time. We want you to know that you're invited to that. If you're new with us this morning, we sure are blessed to have you. If you would take a visitor's card and fill that out for us, that'd be wonderful. We could communicate to you too. Before we go any further, let's pray. God, our Father, thank you. You've been so good to us. You've blessed us with your Son. And at this Christmas season, every year, we celebrate Jesus. We celebrate this baby in a manger who eventually will die on the cross for our sin. And it's so good for us, Father, to be reminded of the story today, the story of Jesus. Baby, yes, but more. Emmanuel, Messiah, and Lord. And so we've come together this morning, Father, to worship you, to worship Jesus, to celebrate this birth, and to say again, thank you. Thank you for all that have come this morning. Thank you for churches that are gathering all over our region in America and the world today. I pray that all of us together would lift up the name of Jesus and give you praise and glory. I do want to pray, Father, for those that are hurting, those that are sick, those that are struggling, those that have just not found their way in life. I do want to pray, Father, will you touch them in a special way? Will you heal them? Will you strengthen them? Will you guide them? And Father, where we have sinned against you, will you forgive us? And so, Lord, as we have gathered this morning to continue this Christmas celebration, we pray for your Spirit's leading, your Spirit's guiding, your Spirit's enabling, and we want you to be glorified. So guide us as we continue our worship. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, some of you know that during this Christmas season, I have chosen to refer to Jesus when he said, I am. And so I have talked so far this season, this Advent season, I am the true vine, Jesus said. I am the good shepherd. And today I want to kind of speak to what's on the banners when Jesus said himself, I am the light of the world. And so let me set the stage just a little bit before I get to some scripture in John chapter 8. If you've got your Bible, that's where I will be. And it'll be on the big screen for you too. But I'll be referring to John chapter 8. Let me set the stage for you first, though. This last week, I was reading some very troubling articles, some from magazines, some from online. And one of the articles I read that had been posted from a Christian sister of ours, this article was entitled, The Essence of Evil. The subtitle was, Sex with Children Has Become Big Business in America. The first line of the article said, children, young children, girls primarily, as young as 9, are being bought and sold for sex in America. The average age for young women being sold for sex is now only 13 years old, right here in the United States of America. And I read the article with a heavy heart, reading more statistics that I don't need to elaborate on. And I tell you this, and I'm going to give you a couple of more headlines that I've read lately, to remind us, darkness has set in. Really, darkness sat in the Garden of Eden. You know the story about the Garden of Eden and Adam and Eve. But darkness has set in on the human race. And we desperately need the light of Jesus. We desperately do. Some of you saw, some of you even alerted me to it, that Netflix put out a movie this last week or so, depicted Jesus as homosexual. I guess it's supposed to be a comedy movie. I didn't watch it. But it just adds to what I'm saying. Darkness has set in. In the last issue of The Vine and the Branches that I read from cover to cover, there's a lot of articles. There are good articles, articles about Jesus, articles about the birth of Jesus. But then there's also some heavy articles. One of them's headline was this: Seminary Students Worship Plants. Now, I don't know if you know what a seminary does. Do you know what a seminary does, brothers and sisters? A seminary turns out church leaders. Okay, you still with me? A seminary turns out church leaders. And the headline said, Seminary Students Worship Plants. Like this, plants. You remember the first commandment, do we not? Thou shalt have no other gods before you. Shall not. The second one, we should not make anything graven images with our hands. God wants us to worship Him. And here's the first line of that article. At a recent chapel service, students from the Union Theological Seminary were instructed on how to confess their sins to and worship potted plants in response to our climate crisis. Darkness has set in. And another article, same magazine, the headline was Drag Queen Library Readings Continue. Right here in Richfield, Minnesota, public library hosted a person who was known for his show, Gender Fluids. And he began reading to these children a book called Neither, which explains to the children how some people are neither boys and they're not girls. And he read some other things that would line up with that. Now, I don't mean to take a lot of time on heavy, dark stuff, but I'm simply here to set the stage for us, friends. Darkness has set in on America. All kinds of darkness. Now, I don't think I'm better than anybody else, okay? Don't get me wrong here. I don't stand up here on the podium thinking I'm anybody better than anybody else. I, too, had to step out of the darkness into the light of Jesus. But darkness has settled in on our land. I could give you a lot more headlines, but I've given you plenty to think about already. And I've already said, darkness really, in fact, has settled in on mankind since the Garden of Eden. And God had a plan all along to do something about the darkness. I say hallelujah. He had a plan to do something about the darkness, to help Jim and help other people, men and women, boys and girls all over the globe, step out of the darkness of who we used to be into the light of Jesus. And I, for one, thank God for giving us the plan. I give you this scenario, these scenarios, to suggest to us we need some light. We need some light. And in John chapter 8, in verse 12, Jesus made another I am statement. Those of you that have been around here a couple of weeks know we've talked about when he said, I am the true vine. And he was talking to his disciples that night. He said, that's where you're going to get your life. You're only going to get life and sustenance and vibrancy in your spiritual journey by plugging in and connecting to the vine, who is Jesus. And we looked at his statement that said, I am the good shepherd. He made that to the religious leaders of the day who were completely clueless to be stepping into the light or knowing about the good shepherd and the true vine. He made that statement to them. And today he makes a statement, I am the light of the world. I'm going to give you the context, but I'll give you the verse. Then I'll go into verse chapter 8 and give you the setting of this verse. Then Jesus spoke to them. This is John chapter 8, verse 12. I am the light of the world. And then he takes it a step further, suggesting that something has to be done about the light. He or she who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Wonderful statement. Beautiful statement. I am the light of the world, he said. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Let me give you the context for that, the setting in Scripture here to bring us up to that verse. If you got your Bible, I'm on chapter 8 of John. If you don't have it, it'll be on the big screen for you. Here we go. Most of you know this story very, very well, but let me give you the setting for the statement. Now, early in the morning, he, that's Jesus, came again into the temple, and all the people, that would be Jewish people in Jerusalem for worship, all the people came to him, and they sat down, and he taught them. It's like a big old Bible study was going on. He was just teaching them about some of the things that we learn here in Scripture. While he's teaching them, the scribes and the Pharisees, that's a religious elite, brought to him a woman who the Bible says had been caught in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this is the religious elite saying to Jesus, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, in the very act. And then they said to Jesus, Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? And the Bible says, this whole scenario, this could be a sermon on its own, but I'm just trying to set the stage for us, working up to the statement. The Bible says, this they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. They were looking to trap him. That was their motive behind the whole thing. But here's what they did. They set this lady in the midst, and they said, Moses said she should be stoned. I suspect by this time they all had rocks in their hands. What are you going to say about it? And the Bible says Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear them. And so then the Bible says when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and he said to them, so they pressed him. The Mosaic law says this. What do you say about it? They pressed him. And he stood up from whatever he was writing in the sand. And he said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again the Bible says he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last, and Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, No one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. We know the story, do we not? We know the story. We've heard it. We've read it. And here's my point. It's immediately after he said what I just read, neither do I condemn you, go and sin no more. The very next verse says this. When Jesus spoke again to the people, the Bible study group was still there. The Pharisees, the scribes, they're gone. They've been convicted, chastened a little bit, put in their place a little bit, dropped the rocks and left. The Bible study group is still there. And when Jesus spoke to them again, he said this statement. Remember the setting. Remember what just happened. Woman is still there. Bible study group is still there. He said to them, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Now, listen to me for a second, friends. That a sin against God and transgression against the law of Moses had happened, that was true. Moses had spoke about this. God's law spoke about this. And the Pharisees, well, we know the story. They were trying to trap him. But they were partly true, partly correct according to the law, that one should be stoned for such a transgression. When I say partly, if you look at Leviticus 20 and 10, it says both the man and the woman, they forgot the other half, they only brought the woman, both the man and the woman were guilty. And it's at that setting that Jesus said what he said. He that will follow me, she that will follow me, will no longer walk in darkness, but have the light of life. You see, friends, what he's saying here, let me pray. I'm not trying to take words away from Jesus. I'm not trying to add. But what he's saying to them, sin is serious against God, okay? Let's not minimize that. My sin, ours, it's serious, hers. But what he's saying here to them, it doesn't matter so much as who you used to be if we will take the opportunity to step into the light of Jesus by faith. He said, you will, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness anymore. That's good news. Amen? That's really good news. He is speaking, I believe, among other things, about the woman. And so what he's saying here, if we will step into the light of Jesus and follow him, adulteress or adulterer, there's one of them out there somewhere too, or drunkard, or addict, or gossip, or idolater, or thief, or liar, or whatever else we were, or whatever else there was in that crowd. What he was saying, when we step into the light of Jesus, you shall not walk in darkness anymore. Why? Because of the statement he just made, I am the light of the world. And when we step into the light by faith, we can step into that and be forgiven. We can step into that and be set free. We can step into that and stop being in the darkness. I say hallelujah. This is good news. Is it not good news, brothers and sisters? This is really good news. We don't have to die in our sin. Believe it or not, the Bible says we all are. We can step into the light of Jesus and stop dwelling in the darkness. This is really good news. The Old Testament, I was looking as I researched this. The Old Testament uses the word darkness a lot of times. Very often referring to the condition of humanity. You know the stories. I don't have to tell you about them. You know the story of Noah. Darkness had set in. God flooded the earth, judged, everybody was judged and dead. We know these stories. Sodom and Gomorrah, darkness had set in. God wiped them all out in judgment. Darkness was running rampant amongst God's people. Idolatry, all kinds of stuff. Darkness had set in. The prophets of the Old Testament talked about the darkness. And the beauty of some of the Old Testament also talked, there's going to come a day when there's going to be some light. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 2 says, Isaiah is speaking about a time that will come. He said, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. That's good news. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, because darkness and sin will keep us away from God, and we will die in our sin, and it will be death eternally. It will be eternal separation from God. But Isaiah said, there's good news, hold on. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shone. Hallelujah. Then when we get to the New Testament, John chapter 1, I know you know this too, but we've already looked at John chapter 8, but in John chapter 1, John spells out a little bit about Jesus. Let me read it for us. You know it, but let me read it for us. John says about Jesus, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He's talking about Jesus. He, that's Jesus, was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made. He's talking about Jesus. We know that from verse 14 later on the same chapter. Then in verse 4, in Him was life. He's saying in Him, that's who he's talking about, Jesus. And the life was the light of man. You want to have life? You want to have real life? You've got to step into the light. Then John said, and the light, that's Jesus, shines in the darkness, that's humanity. Then he makes a statement about the Jewish folks of the time. It's a hard statement, but it was a truthful statement because he's writing many, many years after this happened. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness didn't get it. When he says, and the darkness did not comprehend it, they didn't understand, they didn't embrace, they didn't subscribe to, they didn't follow the light. John goes on further to say, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now he's talking about John the Baptist. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. John the Baptist's sole purpose was to tell the people of the time, he's coming. He's coming. He came as a baby. We worship, we celebrate, we rejoice. But John the Baptist was born for one reason, and that is what John the Revelator writes here. John the Gospel said, this man, John the Baptist, came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. His sole reason to tell people he's here. The light has come. Hallelujah. That's what John the Baptist was here for, to tell people the kingdom of God is here. John, the gospel writer, adds, he, John the Baptist, was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. All these references to Jesus being the light. Let me bring it all together, friends. He referenced himself as the light in other places. But I'm not going to turn there because time doesn't allow it. I'm just going to say this. Here's my point. We live in darkness ever since the sin in the Garden of Eden. And whether it was the woman that the Pharisees threw in their midst, caught in adultery, whether it was Israel of the Old Testament, whether it's the people of Jesus' time, or whether it's America today, we live in darkness. Because sin entered in the Garden of Eden. Sin's been running largely unchecked for millennia. We need the light. We need the light of Jesus. And I'm here to tell us this morning, friends, it's Christmas time. It's time when we normally reference Luke chapter 2 and we talk about the wise men in Matthew chapter 2 or the shepherds in Luke chapter 2. But I'm giving you these three statements that Jesus made because we need to do something about his statements. Last week I told us when he made the claim, I am the good shepherd, the religious leaders had to decide, is he or isn't he? They had to decide. To ignore it is still staying in the darkness. And now he's telling this other group of people, these Jewish folks that he's training up, I am the light of the world. And if you want to be part of me, if you want to be part of my kingdom, both now and forever, you've got to step out of the darkness and you've got to step into the light. He came as a baby. He came to save us from our sin. We all know that. He came as Redeemer, Emmanuel, the Good Shepherd, the True Vine. He came as the light. And I'm here to tell us this morning and invite us, friends, if we have never stepped into the light of Jesus, what does that mean, Jim? It means, have I recognized I'm in the darkness? Whatever vices are holding us back, I'm in the darkness, and the only way I'm going to be in heaven, the only way I'm going to be part of his kingdom is to step out of the darkness into the light. It's the only way. It's not a religion thing. It's not a church membership thing. It's a faith in Jesus thing. And so I'm asking us on this Sunday before Christmas, friends, have you stepped out of the darkness into the light? You say, Jim, I don't really think I'm that bad. I don't like to be labeled a sinner. We're all in the darkness until we've stepped into the light. All of us, until we have stepped into the light of Jesus. And so we need to address the past by saying, Father, forgive me. I have sinned against you. I have sinned against humanity. I want to step into the light. I want to invite Christ into my life. I want to follow Jesus. Because Jesus is the one that said, if we follow him, that's the stepping into the light. We have to decide, am I going to follow? Then we'll walk in darkness no more. And I say, thank you, Lord. I don't have to be bound up in the darkness. I don't have to be bound up in sin because I've recognized I too was a sinner and I need the light of Jesus. And I've stepped into the light by faith. And as our praise team comes, are you going to sing for us? I want to sing that song we sang just a little bit ago. It's a beautiful song with beautiful words. It's probably brand new to you like it is brand new to me. But it's a beautiful song. And while we're singing this song, friends, if you've never stepped into the light, if you've never given your life completely to Christ, I want to encourage you this morning. If you're still in the darkness of sin, you're not in a good place. The Bible is real clear about that. We're all there. And if you are still yet this morning, I just want to invite you, step into the light. While we're singing this song, you just talk to the Lord. You pray to the Lord, or come pray with Charles, or come pray with myself. Step into the light by faith. Acknowledge Christ, Savior, Emmanuel, Lord. Forgive me, come into my life. Do it today, friends. Step out of the darkness and into the light. You do not want to die in the darkness. You will be eternally separated from God if you do. Eternally separated from God. You say, Jim, I don't even believe all that stuff. That's your prerogative. But if it's real and you do nothing about it, you've lost everything forever. Forever. So I'm asking you, while we're singing this song, think that through. Have I stepped out of the darkness into the light? Make that decision today. Call upon the Lord Jesus. Be saved. Step into the light today while we sing this song. If you want help, like I said, Charles and I will pray with you. You can pray right where you're at. But step into the light today. Let's stand together and sing this song.
Let us pray. Our loving Father, we thank you that you have paid the price, took the initiative to make sure that there is a way to restore our relationship with you. We're thankful, Father. We know that there's many things, the four spiritual laws, there's many Romans Road, there's many things we're taught. But we're so thankful that there's no one particular prayer to pray other than, Lord, save me, forgive me of my sins. We realize, Father, that our sinfulness is what breaks our relationship with you. So if we have already accepted Christ as our Savior, whatever it may be that is dimming that light, whether it be to get rid of those things that try to extinguish the flame, or if we have hidden it under a basket, help us, Heavenly Father, to put that light upon the pedestal to shine throughout the world. Because we realize, Father, that we need to deal with our sin. We've told many times, even with the kids at Awana, it's probably the one time that we can actually say we were born that way, sinful, and we need a Savior to repair that relationship. If we will just call out to you, Lord, and confess that that sinfulness has broken our relationship, to forgive us and to renew our hearts, to live in our life, we know we can be born again. What a wonderful gift indeed of Christmas is to have eternal life in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.